They were depending on what they see to get the results instead of what their heart can show them. So there was a triple blockage in that particular case why the demon could not come out. And Jesus had to deal one by one. First, he rebuked the unbelief or the atmosphere around. Now, sometimes Jesus has to even take the patient aside and throw everybody out of the place in order to get the atmosphere of faith. We found, like in Mark chapter 5, when he came to the house of Jairus, whose daughter was sick when he came for healing, by the time they returned, the daughter had died, and they already had a funeral service going on. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 38, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus was his name, and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. He came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion? She is not dead, but sleeping." Now, physically, she was dead. They laugh him to scorn. In verse 40, they laugh at him. That was their unbelief. And Jesus put them all out. You know why he put them all out? There was an atmosphere of unbelief. He pushed all of them out. And he only have Jairus, the mother, his three disciples, and him to deal with the case. Now, in the book of Acts, we realize that Peter also did the same thing when they had a group of a woman who came to him and who were crying and weeping because Dorcas had died. And they were crying because they were sad. And you know what Peter did? He put all of them out because their emotions were hindering the exercise of faith. So he put all of them out so that he could exercise faith and pray to get that faith, so that Peter could get that level of faith to raise her from the dead. So the atmosphere of faith is important. Important to casting out demons. Because most of the time people are frightened. And their unbelief, their fear is feeding energy to the demon to remain. And then you have to deal with the faith inside the patient or the father of the child, since the child could not exercise faith. He was demonized from childhood. And he has to draw out that faith. Jesus was stirring his faith. All he says, if you believe. If you really, really, really believe. And the father cried. Something broke. And he says, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Now the word help, if you examine it, it was like he was asking God forgiveness for his unbelief. He was repenting of his unbelief. He was not just saying, "Help my unbelief." The Greek word help involves a asking God. He was saying, "I believe, forgive me for not having belief." So he asked God for unforgiveness for his unbelief. And, of course, the minister's side. The disciples were no good. They all had unbelief in them. But Jesus had faith. And when, do you notice Jesus didn't go right to the boy? He went to the father. You see, he know how to handle the situation. In Mark chapter 9, as he came down, there was a crowd of people. And in verse 16, he rebuked the scribe, saying, "What are you discussing with them?" There's the disciples. One of the multitude say in verse 17, they brought a child, a mute spirit. And in verse 18, all these things happened, and the disciples cannot cast out the demon. And then verse 19, Jesus rebuked the unbelief. And then Jesus says, "Bring him to me." When they brought the child to Jesus, in verse 20, the child was convulsing, fell to the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. He didn't go to the child. He was looking for a place where faith is exercised. All the attention was there, but he looked to the Father. And he had to bring faith out from the Father. Draw faith out from the Father. And when the Father reached the point where he believed and says, I believe. Help or forgive my unbelief. When Jesus, then the people were slowly coming. Then only Jesus turned to the demon and says, "You deaf and dumb spirit, come out!" And it was out. Because he had created all the proper settings. The key is faith. But there must be an atmosphere of faith. And that is why some of you may have, I just now when I asked for raising hands, some of you raise your hand. That is why sometimes demons don't seem to come out when people, a lot of crowd are looking and all those things. Because there's no control of creating the atmosphere. But when you take that demon aside, it comes out easier. Because the demon was feeding on the energy of the fear of people. Now sometimes you can change a whole atmosphere by worship or anything. Like for example, any demonized person try to step through the door, we have authority to create a whole atmosphere. But if we were out in a mall which doesn't belong to us, it's a different thing. Sometimes there is sufficient anointing, which is another way of casting a demon, with faith, casting out the demon, for you to deal in a crowd. But otherwise, you don't. You pull it, bring it to the room. So there's an atmosphere of faith required. Faith in the one to receive. Of course, if the person is demonized, they cannot. But the loved one who exercises faith for them. That is required. And that must happen first. See, the reason why many times people read, oh, Jesus did all the miracles, and we run out trying to do the miracles. We run in the hospital, laying hands on everyone, thinking, no. We haven't drawn out the faith from them yet. And that comes through preaching, through teaching, or through them hearing and responding. And so, Jesus has skill in drawing people's faith where it was ready for them to receive the miracle. So, there is a need of the level of faith to draw forth. And when that comes forth, the person exercising the dominion has to have faith. The disciples, they were wishy-washy. They were dependent on external circumstances many times, not from their heart. Even though Jesus had given them authority over the demons, they had unbelief. Jesus in Matthew 17 says, because of your unbelief. Now then the cure for that is very funny. Jesus says, this can't come forth not but by prayer and fasting. You know why when you pray and fast, you spend time with God? You're spending time with God. So I'll conclude with a little story from the book of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, the disciples came to Jesus and then they asked him, particularly, disciples came and asked him about faith. Let's look first at Luke chapter 9, at the same incident. First Luke 9, same particular incident, in regards to faith, then they need to put up faith in. It says here, in verse 41, he rebukes the same thing. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Now, in Matthew chapter 17, in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. That's a prayer many people are praying. Increase our faith. And you know what Jesus said? Look at his answer. He says in verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and after you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. Now, they say, increase our faith. Jesus never gave them a straight answer. The first thing Jesus, he says, all things can be possible for you if you have faith. Then he talked about a story about servant obeying their masters. And then he concludes with the saying that likewise in verse 10, the first three words, so likewise you. When you have done all those things which you are commanded, say we are unprofitable, so we are just obeying, we are just servants. What was the answer to the question, increase our faith? Of course, the first answer you have from those things is that you can only increase your faith by acting on them. The servants were acting. They were acting out their command. You see, a lot of Christians, they don't act. They just hear, but never act. They are like the person Jesus says, who built a house on the sand. They hear, but they never tested their faith. They never acted. They never prayed before. And I encourage Christians, now we believe in flowing with different people's level of faith. Not everybody has the same level of faith. But remember this, if you don't depend on God for little things now, when you need God for big things, you're not going to find the faith there. By all means, get the best help you can. But if you have a little problem here and there, a little sickness here and there, the first thing you should do is exercise your faith in God first. And if you want all the rest of the comforts and all those things to help, fine. We have so much faith in natural things that we have a little faith in the spiritual things. And that's the reason why people haven't increased their faith. They haven't exercised faith. So the answer to the question was, first of all, how to increase your faith? First of all, act on it. Act on whatever level of faith you have. Act on that. And you start acting on your faith, then it will grow. The second thing is, of course, which is the other part, we have only obeyed what we are commanded. In other words, you need to hear from God. You need to be in fellowship with the master and the author and finisher of our faith. That is where prayer and fasting comes. Because you know why? And I talk about like we're swimming uphill, swimming upstream. If you don't do anything in your life, you will automatically become filled more and more with the world and unbelief and fear. Just to maintain a balanced Christian life or a strong Christian life, you need a little effort every day. Although you're in rest with Him, you spend time with God. That, however you spend time, doesn't matter. But you need to spend time with God. So by spending time with God, I recommend an hour a day. Because an hour seems to be the minimum. Jesus says, what could you not watch with me? 1 hour, lest you enter the temptation. So the 1 hour you spend with God is helping you swim up the stream so that you're not caught by the way of the world. So your 1 hour is just neutralizing the world. You're not even moving yet. You're just remaining in the same position. So some Christians thought it's great. Oh, hallelujah, I prayed and spent time with God for 1 hour a day. Yeah, brother, you're just stationary. You haven't moved. You're just in the same place. At least the good thing is you haven't backslided. Mark this word. These are correct observations. You don't have to spend time with God and straight away you're filled with fear and unbelief. Because there's too much of it around us. Just spending that time sort of neutralize it. Then if anything you spend above that hour, you start moving upstream towards God. Which is why Jesus says, because of your unbelief, then he says,